In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. In Duluth, there's a train museum. Neat little place. All kinds of trains. You can climb on them. You can actually go out on the tracks, and they have rides, all kinds of displays. And one of the trains they have there is this old steam engine locomotive. It's a giant thing. There's a sign near it explaining its vital statistics, when it was built, the manufacturer, the temperature the boiler would get to when it was fully heated, its weight, horsepower, those kinds of things. Interesting fact on the sign revealed how inefficient this old steam locomotive was. It said 96% of its power went just to moving the engine itself, leaving only 4% of its power to move the load behind it. When you look at all the components, the amount of steel just to build the thing, all the valves and the dials and the pipes, and 96% of that was just to move itself, you can see why those old steam engines went obsolete relatively quickly and were replaced by coal and eventually electric. I think as a church, we need to be cautious, and we can take a lesson from an old steam engine. The church, as the body of believers, is assembled on this earth to move the world, to change the world, to change human hearts, to bring light and joy and hope to the lost. And sometimes the church can get so bogged down in its own internal needs and its own internal wants that we've got almost no energy left to change and to move the world around us. In the gospel, Jesus meets a multitude of people away from the temple, away from the synagogue, out in the wilderness. And there's an image right there that there's more to the church than its four walls. But Jesus meets the people out in the wilderness, and he taught them there, and he healed many, and he brought good news of hope to people and put a little joy in people's hearts. And then evening comes, and of course the people are hungry. The disciples ask Jesus to dismiss the crowd, send them away to get their food. And then Jesus says one of the more important commands in the New Testament. He says, "You give them something to eat." And we know the story. The disciples are perplexed. You know, how are we supposed to do that? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. From John's gospel, we learn that a little boy brought them. He was the only one smart enough to remember to pack snacks. Jesus, of course, says, "Bring your offering to me." And in doing so, he gives it back to them multiplied thousands and thousands of times over. And notice Jesus doesn't feed the people directly. They bring him the offering, he gives it back to them, and then the disciples feed the crowds. And they eat well. And there's 12 baskets of fragments left over. Unlike the old steam engine, which uses 96% of its energy for itself, and only has 4% to move the load. In Christ, and by being the church, the disciples not only feed the multitudes, but there is plenty left over to spare. In other words, there is hope and there is life beyond their wildest imaginations. Now this command, "You give them something to eat," it certainly applies to us as individuals. We all ought to do our part to feed the hungry, to donate to the food pantries, and on a spiritual level, to feed those who are starving for hope and joy. But don't you think there's also a message to us as a group? Isn't there a meaning that applies to this church? In effect, Jesus is saying, "Hey, Holy Trinity Church, your communities need hope and joy that you experience. You give them something to eat." When the disciples asked, "What are we supposed to do for all these people?" Jesus effectively said, "You're the church. Get out there and give them something to eat." You know, there's an old saying, we'll never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. Football season is fast approaching, and I'm kind of happy about that. In a football game, what happens? The team huddles, they get their instructions from the captain, then they go to the line and they battle the defense and they gain, even if they can, just a few yards, and everyone has a different job, but they all act together as a team. And then after they're beaten down a little bit, they get back into a huddle, get new instructions, and go back and do it again. What kind of football team would it be if all they did was huddle up, get their instructions from the captain, and then go home? It wouldn't be much of a game. They would lose by forfeit every time. Never went into the trenches, never battled for field position, just huddled and went home. That would be akin to a church that only gathers for worship and doesn't touch the world around us. We hear the words of our captain. We're nourished with his very body and blood. The point of that is to go back into this world, to go back into the trenches where people are hurting, where the marginalized face daily discrimination, where the gospel of hope is desperately wanted by desperate people, and to be the church to those folks and to give those folks something to eat. You know, the reason a lot of people reject religion today is not because they don't believe in God. If you read the surveys, that's not the reason. It's because religion has ceased to be a messenger of hope and joy to them. The church has become either a theology think tank or a quaint museum of bygone ages or stern-faced moralizers. Or the church has become an old steam engine spending so much energy just plodding itself along, it's got nothing left over for the world, and it goes off alone. Imagine instead the church as a moving force of feeding the hungry, both literally and spiritually, feeding our communities, feeding the marginalized, feeding the beaten down, offering the message of joy and hope and acceptance that only Christ can bring perfectly. I'd like to share a story about a church in Michigan. It was once a thriving parish. The neighborhood, though, changed. People moved out to the suburbs. The parish dwindled in numbers and resources. And eventually the time came that they couldn't keep the doors open much longer. And so, in a split vote, the last 12 people decided to give everything they could back to the neighborhood. Sold off some assets, had a big garage sale, used the proceeds to have a food giveaway and a small carnival. And they held several bilingual services during that weekend. Well, the neighbors came out in droves for this farewell celebration. They came for the free food, of course, they came for the carnivals, but they started being excited about these bilingual services. And they asked, can you give a few more of those? So the next Sunday, they had another bilingual service. Pretty soon, people started coming. It got the attention of a grant giver, and they were given a grant. 15 years later, this church is still bumping along because they learned to give back to their community. Apparently, their farewell celebration was a failure because they failed to say goodbye and instead opened a new chapter. When Christ said, "You give them something to eat," thousands were fed, and there were still 12 baskets left over. Brothers and sisters, we can't change the world just by going to church. We can only change the world by being the church. Amen.